too calm. He acted as if we were on a business date, discussing a transaction beneficial to both of us. I wanted to teach him what was beneficial. His balls in my left hand, and an arrest warrant in my right. Ulrich, as if I'd ever call him Master A, the sadistic prick, ran a palm over his clean-shaven jaw.
It's only fair I tell you something about me, seeing as I know everything there is to know about you.
Buffing his nails on his shirt, he sighed as if this entire thing was boring him.
I'm taking you to my home in Crete. There you will do what I want, when I want. You will not refuse unless you enjoy agony.
His eyes hollowed with no mercy.
Then again, perhaps you like pain. Do you, Pimlico? Answer me. Don't be coy. Do you secretly enjoy being hurt?
I stiffened as he stroked my knee again, threatening with a reminder of what he'd already done.
Whatever empowerment you hope being silent gives you, think again.
His hand gathered my dress, bunching it up my thighs. No, please no. I squeezed my eyes, waiting for his gruesome fingers to climb between my legs. But he stopped. Hovering on my delicate skin, he grunted.
You will talk to me, eventually. But don't worry. If you only learn to scream, I can work with that.
Reclining backward, his vile touch gave me a reprieve as he picked up his glass. Taking three long sips, he twirled the breakable flute with a lingering smirk.
Forget everything about your past, and only remember this. You are my toy, my most prized possession. Don't forget how much I paid for you, and what I expect in return.
His words fell to the plane's floor like loaded grenades. I waited for them to detonate and destroy me, but whatever freedom I'd found by locking myself away prevailed. The silence stretched like a dirty pause, but I didn't care. If I was to remain true to my voiceless future, I had to befriend silence and find sanctuary in whatever awkwardness it created. However, Ulrich wasn't prepared to do such things. His eyes narrowed as he leaned into me.
Are you not going to ask what you can expect in return?
Every instinct commanded me to shake my head, to reply in some way. But I fought that too. Verbal and nonverbal communication were now forever forbidden. Just as I locked away who I was, I would banish all memory of companionable connection. He growled beneath his breath.
The more you defy me, the more you'll pay when we arrive.
Arrive? Away from my home and mother. Away from everything I'd been. I could control my outward response, but I couldn't control my heart bucking suicidal in my chest. Ulrich sighed heavily, snapping his fingers for another glass of champagne. Instantly, a dew-covered flute with sparkling liquor was delivered directly into his outstretched paw. Enjoying a sip, he said.
Seeing as you won't ask, I won't tell. But just so you know, by the time the week is through, you'll be on your knees wishing you'd been smarter. You'll chant yourself to sleep, begging to know what comes next.
He painted a horrible picture, a future I wanted nothing to do with. A few heartbeats thundered past, my chest rising and falling, tickling my nipples against the toilet paper words stuffed in my bodice. My note to no one. I was stupid to find comfort in those silver scribbled scraps, but I did. My back straightened, and my fingers linked demurely in my lap. This bastard was just a man. Scum. Yes, he could hurt me. Yes, he could make me beg for death. But we were the same species, same adversaries. And one day, soon, I would figure out a way to win and be free of him. Ulrich toasted me with his champagne, not offering me a drink or dinner. His gaze traveled over every inch of me as the plane banked to the left.
We're almost home. I can't wait to show you around.
He chuckled, enjoying being the joke creator and punchline to the new narration of my life.
Once we get there, you'll realize how much you wasted my openness to talk. Poor Pimlico, you really should have asked. And now, it's too late.
Pimlico.
This is your room.
Ulrich shoved me over the threshold, barring the doorway with his body. My white heels clipped on the sparkling silver tiles, sinking deep into a sheepskin rug as I stumbled from his push. I wanted to rub my skin where he touched me. I wanted to wash and wash and wash. We'd arrived a little while ago, soaring from clouds to land, concluding our journey at a private airstrip. A chauffeur-driven car delivered us from there to here, and the resplendent home of my captor did nothing to make my stay more welcoming. The moment he dragged me inside, he tore me through the space, past the dining room, kitchen, lounge, and up a flight of steps that branched off in two directions. He took the left, wrapping his fingers tightly around my wrist as if I'd run away any second. There's nowhere to run. I had no idea where I was. No hope of escape. I lost count of how many rooms existed off the corridor, until he opened a white lacquered door and tossed me inside. Either Ulrich had a fascination with white, or he had no inspiration when it came to decoration. The walls were white, the bed white, even the dressing table, bedside units, and armoire. White, white, white. My eyes dropped to my dress. Was that why he'd bought me? Because I'd been prepped for sale in snow. I backed away toward the alabaster curtains, hiding a view of a country I'd never visited, hidden in the lateness of night. His hands spread like shackles as he marched toward me.
Time to welcome you to your new home, don't you think?
Grabbing the front of my dress, he yanked, hard. The pretty pearls and intricate stitching did its best to withstand such torture, but the pieces tore with a loud shriek. My arms came up automatically. Not to protect my decency, that luxury had been beaten out of me back at the trafficking hotel, but to hide my toilet paper novel. Too late. The scribbled pieces scattered onto the carpet like tiny squares of misery. My bitten pencil bounced free like a splinter from my heart. I wanted to scoop them up, but there was no point. He'd seen, and no matter if I picked them up or left them, he'd steal them from me. That was what men like him did. I'd been bought to share his perverted life in whatever way he saw fit. I wouldn't cry over my revealed words, and I wouldn't beg him to leave them alone. His eyes latched onto the mess on the floor, a sinister smile twitching his lips.
Well, well, what do we have here?
I sucked in a breath, glowering with all the force I had left. He raised an eyebrow as he squatted to pick up a piece. Reading the scribbles, he looked up. The fact he bowed before me didn't escape my knowledge. However, I wasn't silly enough to believe the position put him below me. He could cause just as much pain down there as he could, with me scrunched up and crying on his toes.
What exactly is this?
I broke eye contact, glaring at the white painted wall. No artwork, no personality, a blank void of nothingness.
Not replying to me is getting very old, very quick.
Ulrich straightened, shoving a handful of my pages in my face.
Don't want to tell me? Fine. In that case, you don't need them anymore.
Snatching up every last sheet, he stomped to the door.
I suggest you get some sleep, Pimlico, because tomorrow your true welcome begins.
To no one. He's gone. He's taken my previous confessions to you, but not my pencil. I'll hide whatever I transcribe now, so he'll never have these new pages. It's late, very late, but I don't have a clock on this emotionless tomb. Tomorrow my life will change, and I may or may not be able to write to you about what I live through. Just knowing you're there to listen is enough. Having your acceptance and no judgment will keep me going. My mother would be proud of me. I've lasted this long with my dignity intact. Can I tell you a secret, no one? Whatever Ulrich does to me tomorrow, sexually, will be the first thing anyone has done to me. I'm 18 and a virgin. Laughable, right? But that's what happens when you live in my world. My mother forced me to choose books over boys, and studies over sex. I mean, If I'd found a guy I liked enough to last a few dates and sloppy kisses with, her rules wouldn't have stopped me. But I didn't find him. And now, I never will because that choice has been taken from me. Is it stupid not to be afraid of his fists or boots or chains? Is it ridiculous that I don't fear sticks and whips and torture equipment? All I truly fear is him. His penis. Will it hurt? Will I bleed? Who will be there to talk to me when it's over and I feel different? When he forces me from girl to woman, teen to slave, free to broken? You, I guess. Only you. Until tomorrow, no one. Sleep well. Because I won't. Pimlico. To no one. I thought I could do this, but I can't. I thought I could tell you what he did, but I won't. All I can say is, his idea of welcome included things I never want to experience again. It hurt so, so much. I can barely sit without wanting to scream in agony while writing this to you. He took my virginity multiple times. He made me wish sex was never invented. God, it hurts so much, no one. But he didn't kill me, so I'll focus on that and do my best to figure out how to survive. Pimlico. To no one. How long have I lived here? I've forgotten. Is it 2 weeks or three? 10 weeks or 12? Ulrich deliberately keeps calendars out of the house, and every technology device he owns is password protected. I know because I've tried. I stood in the dark trying to hack his encryption. I've pretended to sleep, chained in the corner of his bedroom, all while fumbling with the number lock on his cell phone. The only way I can judge passing months is the regular contraceptive injection he gives me. Oh, no one, if you could see me. God, I'm so glad you can't see me. How was I ever so vain to think I was pretty? Why did I ever want to lose the puppy fat that gave me curves? I can honestly say if my mother saw me now, she'd walk right past me. She wouldn't recognize me. I don't recognize me. Ulrich cut my hair 3 nights ago. Or was it 6? I don't know. All I know was his fists on my skin and his boots in my belly weren't enough for him. He had to slice away the hair I used to shield my face from his. He took away my protection with 4 snips of the kitchen scissors. He left me with a mismatched jaw-length massacre. That doesn't bother me. The hack strands can't weaken me. But the fact he didn't tidy up his awful hack job damaged my belief that I could endure what my future holds. By leaving me this way, he's shown how much he doesn't care. He called me his prized possession. I'm not. I'm his trophy to be tarnished and dented, and then put back on a mantle to fade from gold to dirty bronze, before being shoved in a box and forgotten about. How long before I'm in the box, no one? Do I even want to know? Possession of Ulrich. 6 months. To no one. I talk to you every day, if I can steal the time. But have you noticed I'm not writing everything down? Not walking you through my daily horrors or regaling the truth of what I endure? Do you want to know why? Because nobody should have to read what has become of me. No one should have to see what that raping bastard does. I'll spare you, and I'll spare myself by not recalling it. Possession of Ulrich. 1 year. Dear no one. Today, Ulrich told me I've been with him for a year. A year. One disgusting, awful, crippling year. A year. That's far too long to contemplate. I did everything I could to escape. You know that. I hid from him. I fought him. I even tried to kill him. And I paid for my attempts. You're the only thing I have, no one. Only you know the true facts. Only you understand what I've done to survive. How I gave up a piece of myself to protect what I have left. How he can hurt my body, but he can no longer hurt my soul. I've learned to manipulate him. He still beats me, my God. He finds new ways every day. But after all this time, he promised he would have broken me by now. The opposite is true. I'm stronger now than I've ever been. I'm older now. I'm wiser now. And I finally understand what my mother tried to teach me. There is power in listening, watching, observing. Ulrich is a sniveling cesspool of evil, but he has me trapped. Well, I look for ways to kill him. I control him, little by little. Inch by inch, I win an extra meal for being polite. I undermine his abuse by being obedient. He hasn't broken me. He will never break me. And soon, I will be free. Possession of Ulrich. 1.5 years. Dear no one. 1.5 years. My mother, she'll have moved on by now. My friends will be halfway through their degrees at university. Their lives progressed while mine has regressed. Am I even a girl anymore? I don't know. All I know is pain. I was strong for so long. I set up home deep, deep inside me. I had safe sanctuary to flee when he came for me. But yesterday, he broached my inner kingdom and invited his friends to break me. They didn't succeed, but they did succeed in something else. It kills me to admit this to you, no one, but I've been as brave as I can. I've held on for so long. I'm tired. When does living become the wrong choice and death the right one? When does taking your own life become wiser than letting someone else destroy it? I don't want to die because I'm weak. I want to die because it's the last thing I can do to win. He wouldn't have me anymore. I would take away his power. Suicide could be the final rebellion in one act he couldn't prevent. Do you think taking my life would be weak? Do you believe I've withstood enough? Have I endured enough broken bones to prove my desire to keep living? I'm a slave, no one. A slave to his whims, even while I curse his very creation. He's scarred me, ruined me, and now he's sharing me as if I'm worth nothing. I'm worth everything. And I finally had enough. Pimlico. Possession of Master A. 2 years. Dear no one. You've been there for me through every cut and concussion. You've listened to my nightmares and held my hand while that bastard made me bleed. So many times you've listened and hugged and been there, but did you ever think you'd have to listen for 2 years? 2 years. I've been with this awful monster 2 years. I have nothing else to say, nothing else to give. 6 months ago, I reached my limit. I shut down whatever was left inside and decided on death or delirium. Death if I could cheat his fun at hurting me. Delirium if I couldn't run to my grave. But somehow, he knew. One day, the knives in the kitchen were in the butcher block like always, tempting me closer and closer. The next, they'd vanished. The curtain cords, the household tools, electrical appliances, anything that could have aided in my suicide, magically disappeared. He did it to keep me weak, but it didn't work. He reminded me that I've lasted this long. I can last longer. Why should I die? He's the one who deserves to meet his maker and pay for all that he's done. And he will pay. I'll make sure of it. It's taken a long time, but he doesn't suspect me of treason anymore. I stopped outwardly fighting. I obeyed. But not because he broke me. Oh, no. I obeyed because I'm smarter than him. I'm patient enough to bide the perfect time. It doesn't matter that I've become a master of sleeping while chained, breathing while bound, and living while beaten. I've done things I'm proud of. I've done things I'm not proud of. But ultimately, none of it matters. I felt things before no one. I still believed in fantasies like hope and home and happiness. Now, all I believe in is numbness, the clinical assessment I manipulate my master with, and the ticking time bomb inside me that could detonate at any moment. Gone is the vain teenager who thought she would rule the world. I'm honest with myself now. My bones do their best to tiptoe from my skinny flesh. My eyes vacant and cold. The haircut he gave me has grown back tattered as a rag doll. I don't care that he's taken everything. There's still one thing he'll never have. 2 years without a word. My voice is his holy grail, and my ultimate fuck you. He will never earn it. Not that he'll stop trying. 9 months ago, Master A broke my leg just to hear me scream. He earned that one. I couldn't stop it. And yes, you heard that right. I stopped calling him Ulrich when he... You know what? It doesn't matter. All that matters is today is our anniversary. 2 years. It will be our last anniversary. That, I promise you.
Get on your fucking knees, Pim.
My bruises bellowed, but I wouldn't give him another reason to hit me. My kneecaps popped as I gingerly did as I was told. Living in this house with him? It was perpetual purgatory. I hated every damn second, but I hated waking up the most. At least asleep I had some freedom. Free to be outside again, laugh again, run far, far away. He was a bored asshole with nothing better to do than torment me. He didn't go to work. He didn't have staff apart from a cleaning crew that came once a week and a chef delivery service at 6 p.m. every day. His funds were unlimited. He had the power to get away with everything. In the beginning, I had no idea what made him tick or why he treated me so terribly. But 2 years was a long time, and I learned quickly. Every strike, every lash, every horrendous night spent beneath him gave me clues on how to survive. Answering back was not an option. Running, screaming, disobeying, they all earned me more pain than I could stand. But observation, that was my arsenal. At first, knowing his gait changed from smooth to choppy meant he'd rather whip me than fuck me didn't help in the slightest. I couldn't avoid whatever he had planned. It didn't matter if his voice told me his mood or what torture recipes he plotted. But as time crept onward, it forewarned me. I fortified myself better, numbed my body, and won just by breathing. I began to understand who he was past the whips and chains, and found him incredibly lacking. He was the epitome of a disgusting, spineless coward who kept me in line with violence. I'd entered his home believing I could remain strong. That was before the first rape, the first beating, the first kick and punch and whipping. My disobedience lasted longer than I thought, but it all screeched to a stop when he showed me the photos of what happened to his last girl. Dead. He killed her. However, as he wrapped yet another rope around my body to hold me down, he murmured that I wouldn't end up the same as her. He'd paid quadruple for me what he'd paid for her. I truly was his most expensive toy. And even though he wanted to destroy my spirit and shackle me to his soul, he wouldn't kill me. I was worth more alive than dead. It was a horrifying conclusion, and my defiance quickly switched from blatant to hidden. When I averted my eyes in submission, I really denied him the right to read me. When I pre-emptied him by dropping to my knees, I refused him the chance to beat me. And while he made me do tasks completely naked, my mind wrapped itself in clothing full of retribution and revenge. I'd have one shot at killing him. Just one. And even if I did succeed, I had no guarantee I could escape without being smart. Everything in this house was on an electronic system. If I killed him without learning the code, I would die here. I refuse to share a crypt with this rapist.
We have something to celebrate, don't you agree?
He stalked around me with his narrow chin held high.
2 years, my dear. I can imagine at your tender age that's the longest relationship you've ever had.
This isn't a relationship, you pig. My upper lip twitched in disgust as I dropped my gaze to the sheepskin rug. Unfortunately, he'd seen my facial slur. His fist struck the side of my head.
Don't fucking give me attitude, Pim. Not on our anniversary.
I tumbled sideways, shaking away throbbing stars, forcing my body back onto my knees before he kicked me to regain my pose. Ignoring the sudden headache, I catalogued his mood. Everything spoke to me these days. Not just his demeanor, but his chosen wardrobe, selected watch, even the way he styled his hair. Each was a clue to his disposition. As he strolled around me, prattling about how his drive into the city was good, and whatever business he concluded went in his favor, I looked at his shoes. Black loafers meant he was carefree and confident. I glanced at his trousers. Light denim indicated his visit to town wasn't entirely work-related. My eyes trailed to his wrist and the gaudy gold Rolex. He wanted to show off today and flash his superiority. Finally, I snuck a look at the baby blue long-sleeve shirt. Relaxed but preppy. However, the unbuttoned linen jacket was not part of his usual repertoire. He wanted to impress, but still show indifference. To who? I didn't like things I couldn't understand. Had he dressed up for our anniversary, or did he have guests coming tonight? My heart curled into its shell at the thought. When he'd first given me to his friends, Daryl, Tony, and Monty, I'd thrown up not only from the horror at being used by four men, but also from the repeated blows to my belly. Ever since then, the sharing was often. I didn't have a choice. But at least his arrogance and those of his friends gave me a shelter in which to shut down and hide in. They could have my body, but while I floated in a world, not quite here and not quite there, I was able to keep my soul intact, and my voice forever denied to them. He yanked a hand through his spiky blonde hair.
Were you a good girl while I was gone?
You know the answer to that, you bastard. I glowered at the wall. For some reason, whenever he left on errands, he was so sure I'd never find a way out. He didn't bind me like he did at night. The first few instances he left me alone, I'd commandeered the knives in the kitchen, even scurried a few blades away with the hope of killing him in his sleep. But when he'd returned, he'd known exactly what I'd done. Fisting my hair, he'd dragged me through the house, collecting the three butcher knives I'd tucked in secret places. After rounding up my arsenal, he'd carted me to a private security room in the garage hidden behind a piece of drywall and revealed how he'd known. Every inch of his property was recorded. How had I not seen any cameras? Not one blind spot or unreported room. At the time, my heart had grabbed a spade and dug a hole so deep and cavernous inside, I feared I'd never climb back out. But I had, because I had no choice.
Now, Pim, don't be like that. I've been gone for 3 hours. Surely you must have missed me.
Like I'd miss Ebola. I narrowed my gaze, risking a look at him. The moment we made eye contact, he smirked.
Still refusing to speak, I see. You can clamp your lips together. Hell, you can rip out your tongue. But I hear you screaming at me. I hear your retorts, even if you don't say them aloud.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hoped he'd heard those. The decibels vibrated through my body for any deaf or blind person to feel. He chuckled, ducking to my level on my knees. His fingertip traced the line of my jaw, deliberately pressing the bruise he left there last night.
You know, if you'd just spoken to me from the beginning, I might have been a little nicer to you.
Bullshit. I wrenched my face away from his touch. He sucked in an angry breath. His hand dropped to my naked chest, pinching my nipple.
I might have given you clothes, at least.
I don't believe you. He wouldn't. He had no compassion, and only lived to hurt. The morning of my welcome, he'd stripped me of my white dress and never given it back. Once stolen, I had nothing. No clothes existed for me in any of the wardrobes of his 12-bedroom estate. When I tried to commandeer one of his t-shirts, he'd beaten me so black I avoided all bathroom mirrors for weeks. Feeling him abuse me was one thing. Seeing the ownership and betrayal on my skin was entirely another. After that first initiation, I'd gone crazy. I'd flown around his house like a psychotic bird trapped in a cage. I'd rattled every door, clawed every window. I'd searched and searched for a chink in the house's fortress, looking for something, anything to free me. I failed. However, my fight hadn't faded. He tried to make me talk. He'd become inventive with persuasion, but I hadn't faltered. If he spoke to me, I stared at a wall. If he took me to bed, I shut down my mind. If he threw things or beat me, I curled tight around my soul case and held on until it was over. And each time, I got back up, one step in front of the other, until one day I would stop. But that day wasn't today, or tomorrow.
Do you know what special thing I have planned tonight?
Is it your death? That's the only gift I want from you.
It's gonna be a doubly awesome night for me.
Patting my head, he grinned.
First, I have a very important visitor who I expect you to entertain if requested.
I froze.
Second, once he's gone, we'll have our own celebration to mark 2 years.
He smirked.
Oh, while I was out, I went shopping. I picked up a new gag and fresh rope. I'm so generous when it comes to you, Pim.
The ladder and spade and parachute my heart had tried to escape with clattered against my ribs as the damn organ grew legs to sprint far, far away. He could keep his barbaric generosity. Heading to the small fridge beside the dressing table, where he kept a stock of beer to stay hydrated, while spending hours making me wish I was dead, he twisted the top off his favorite brand and drank deep.
One thing you should know about tonight, Pim, is this bastard doesn't know how unique our love is. It's special. Do you understand?
It took everything I had not to roll my eyes. You're deluded. Insane. Love? Bah! His ownership of me was the very definition of fucked up.
You'll be on your best behavior, because I have something else to give you.
My shoulders rolled, protecting myself from a wallop or painful kiss from whatever new item he'd purchased. My ability to read him had scrambled as if sudden interference switched his usual agenda. If you can't predict him, you failed Psychology 101. My mother wouldn't be proud. My thoughts didn't often go to her, but when they did, I wondered if she ever mingled with the bastard who'd taken me. Smiling at him, thinking he was there for her business, or while he smirked with the secret of stealing me for profit. How much of the 1.5 million did he get for me? What would he get for me now? Now I was skinny and beaten and blue. Master A turned to face me, my flesh prickled with foreboding. All I wanted to do was shoot him and walk away. I needed good news to tell no one. Even though I shared my life with my imaginary pen friend, I couldn't write most confessions. He'd hurt me worse than I wanted to immortalize in graphite. He could defile me, abuse me, and even cajole me to speak. But I would never give him what he wanted most. My voice. Sometimes he brought me to the brink of speech through throttling or cutting me, hovering me on the precipice of saying one word to make him stop. But, as if sensing that if he made me talk, I would be worthless, he pulled back at the last excruciating moment. After such an incident, I used my remaining strength to barricade the door with my dresser, blocking him from hurting me further. He'd gone berserk, grabbing an axe from the garage hacking through the immaculate furniture. And what he'd done when he got through. I shuddered, unable to relive it. But it didn't stop my fingers trailing to my foot, where every metacarpal had been broken as he stomped and brutalized me.
Stand up. I have a surprise for you.
Surprise? I hated surprises. Surprise meant being strangled. Surprise meant being sold. My lips clapped together as I stood. He vanished from the room only to return a second later with a bag.
Go on, have a look at my gift. Don't be an ungrateful bitch.
If I hadn't taken a vow of soundlessness, I would have cursed his rotten soul. I would have screamed for him to die multiple times over. Taking a hesitant step, I accepted the bag and peeked inside. Clothes. Why the hell is he giving me clothes now, after all this time? Was he hoping somehow I'd forgive him for what he'd done? Cotton and silk couldn't do that. Nothing could. Not that he'd ever be human enough to seek forgiveness, or even sane enough to realize how sick he was. Not waiting for me to pull the clothing free, he yanked the bag from my fingers and tossed the white garments on the floor. They merged with the tiles and sheepskin below.
Yours. I expect you to wear them.
When I didn't move, he came up behind me, rubbing his erection into the crack of my ass.
Fuck you, piss me off not talking.
He slapped my thigh.
You think you're so strong, but you're not that strong. You don't want to talk to me? I don't need you to talk.
Biting my earlobe hard enough to draw blood, he laughed as I flinched.
One day you'll break, and when you do, I'll fucking celebrate by listening to your screams.
Grabbing my nape, he marched me forward until I crashed against the dressing table.
Carry on not talking to me. I don't need your girlish voice when I know you like to write.
My flesh rippled with indignation as a droplet of crimson from my bitten ear landed on my shoulder. He rolled his hips, digging his cock into my back.
Remember those notes I stole from you when you first arrived? They were entertaining reading. I want some more. I want to know what you feel when I take you. I want to know everything you keep locked inside that mute little brain.
I forced myself not to look over my shoulder at my hiding place. Sheets and sheets of notes to no one hidden so damn close to where we stood. I'd have nothing left if he found them. I couldn't breathe as he slammed my face against a large book resting on the edge of the table.
This is another gift, because I'm feeling like Santa fucking Claus tonight.
Pressing my cheek on the ornate-bound diary, he hissed.
Scribble away, my dear. Let's see what else you have to say about me.
The new Mont Blanc pen beside the new pages begged me to use it as a harpoon, to stab it in his eye and dance in his blindness. Do it. Kill him. Now. My fingers crawled to the pen, but he swiped it into his fist.
On second thoughts, this is too good for you.
Licking my ear, he smeared my blood.
I see your plans, Pim. Shame on you for thinking about using my gift for other activities.
Damn you. Screw you. Let me go. Hot, angry tears blurred my vision. And then nothing else mattered as he threw me to the floor and planted his foot into my stomach.
Such an ungrateful bitch. The things I do for you.
Kick. 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 Instinct curled me tight, but discipline made me unravel and accept. I'd long since learned trying to avoid his tirade only brought another and another.
You think you're better than me? You're not.
Kick, kick. My ribs screamed. My lungs suffocated. I hurt. I'm strong enough to obey. The doorbell rang with perfect punctuation of his damning abuse. The cherry chime sent blades slicing down my spine. Breathing hard, he reached down and almost ripped a handful of my hair as he dragged me to my wobbly feet.
Ah, he's here. Time to play.
I bit back a hate-filled breath, existing in fire-searing agony. He let me go, straightening his shirt.
Now that you've seen the length of my generosity, it's time for you to do the same by being the perfect whore for my guest tonight. Get fucking dressed and come downstairs.
No one. I'm sitting here fingering these strange new clothes, and I don't want to wear them. Does that make me odd? I don't want to be confined. I don't want whatever strands weave this creation to strangle me. Can you see them? The white monstrosity? No, of course. You can't because you don't have eyes or ears, or a heart. He said he has a guest coming tonight. A different one from the usual animals he shares me with. I don't know what that means. I don't like not knowing. Can I crawl inside your soft squares and hide behind your pencil lines until it's over? I got dressed, no one. I slipped into the skirt and polo neck and stared so damn long in the mirror. I'm confused why he's making me wear this. It isn't sexy. The material hangs off me, hiding my gaunt frame and all the bruises and scars he's given me. But why would he do that? Why hide the accomplishments he's marked with me? He likes them. He calls them my jewelry. Tells me how generous he is to give me yet another strangled necklace or rope-granted bracelet. Oh no. He's calling me. I don't want to go. I have no choice but to go.
Elder. There were multiple versions of hell. Most were cliche-filled and nothing more than a nuisance. Overdramatized and the topic of conversation for attention wannabes. However, some versions warranted the name. One version visited for a brief moment, tore apart a life, and left the ruins for whoever was brave enough to pick up the bloody pieces. Another version appeared especially for bastards, delivering payback for whatever atrocities they'd committed. A third acted as a hurricane, bringing destruction to all those in its path, deserving or not. And then there was this, the lying, cheating form of hell, where every twitch, every vowel had to be carefully chosen and meticulously delivered. Because if care wasn't given, death was the worst punishment available. It was in that hell. I'd willingly walked into a demon den. And for what? Why the fuck am I here? The answer dangled like a worm inside my mind. But if there was a worm inside my thoughts, that meant the core of me was bad. A rotten apple slowly devoured by filth. And it was. For many years, that was exactly what I was. But not anymore. Where the worm had tunneled through my humanity and righteousness, something else had filled the holes. Something that thirsted for power, even though I already had endless amounts. Something that craved wealth, even though I already had oceans. Something that demanded I never forgot who I was at the beginning. And who I was at the beginning wasn't a worthwhile citizen. I was shadows and gore and screams. I lost my honor. My family, everything that made me human. Losing everything meant that when I'd gained everything, the luck bestowed on me didn't make the darkness inside me better. It made it worse. So goddamn worse. Not that my new host knew that. My lips twitched as I climbed from my car and nodded at Celix. I won't need your services tonight. My bodyguard, driver, and all-around minion narrowed his gaze. His dark hair in a bun on top of his head sucked up the light of the early evening. His jaw clean-shaven and sharp.
Are you sure? You know what this man is. You did the research. I would advise rethinking your...
I would advise you stop trying to give me advice. We'd met in the days before I was someone. An enemy who struggled the same toils I had. When my luck had changed, I'd hauled him from the gutter with me. After all, there was no better person to employ than an enemy. If I could buy his loyalty and earn his friendship after we tried to kill each other, nothing could break us apart. We'd built a foundation on something so much stronger than light and happiness. We were forged from the same despicableness. There's weakness in that as well as strength. And because of that, I wouldn't stop reminding him that I might trust him with my life,
but he wasn't my conscience. Not before, not now, not ever. I doubt I even have a conscience anymore. According to my heritage, I was a no one, not worthy to be called a man. I'm fine with that. Celix snapped his lips together. I'll be around the block if you need me. Doing up my blazer button, I nodded. You'll know if I do. Dismissing him, I strolled toward the front door of the large white mansion. White, I sneered. The biggest lie of all. It gave a visitor the impression of innocence and purity. But the opposite was true. White was the color with multiple faces. It lied about its identity, hiding its pigment while smothering others. The final blank thought before death. My new host believed I was what I said I was. If he'd researched me as I'd researched him, he would know nothing true about me, only the carefully laid crumbs of worthless knowledge. He wouldn't know my background, he wouldn't know my skills, and he wouldn't know my end agenda. But soon he would. And then my task in hell would be complete.
Pimlico. Tonight was different. I didn't like different. My stomach hurt from where he'd kicked me. My head swam from his punch. My ear stung from his teeth. And that was him being gentle. My mother's lessons on how to read bullies had become a full-time occupation. I knew now what made men like my master tick. I stole pieces of him, every moment he looked my way or touched me. I was the sponge to his evilness, soaking everything I could for my benefit. However, no matter the small victories I enjoyed, the tragedies far outweighed my triumphs. Tonight wouldn't be a triumph. I could sense it. What's going to happen? I shivered as awful answers unspooled, each one worse than the last. The house felt dangerous and strange, poised for something I couldn't prepare for. Leaving my doorless bedroom, I made my way downstairs. My bare feet couldn't camouflage the black and blue shadows from him, breaking my bones, nor hide the malnourished pigment of my skin. But the white skirt, as it flooded around my legs, covered my nakedness and scars for the first time since I'd arrived in Crete, if that was even where I was. The colorless polo gripped my throat with cotton fingers, making me fidget and pull at the obstruction. Lately, he'd had a tendency to use collars and ropes, keeping me bound in awful positions. Normally that position ended up strangling me as he finished. It terrified me while it was happening, but it also stained the times when he wasn't. Whenever he touched my neck now, tears instantly brimmed. No matter how strong I was, he turned that part of my body into a trigger for terror. And now, he dressed me in clothes that suffocated me on his behalf. Gulping my rising panic, I stopped midway down the steps. I can't do this. Turning around, I bolted back up. You don't have a choice. I paused on the landing, with my face in my hands, sobs threatening to undo every rib. I hated my sudden fear. Unknowns did this. They rattled my fragile strength, ready to unleash the detonation building inside me. Over the past 2 years, I developed a security system that ensured I breathed another day, even when some days I wanted to die. Others I wanted to scream. Most, I wanted to slaughter him. It was thoughts of slaughtering him that kept me going, and I evolved. Before, he'd forced me to kneel, and I would stand to disobey. He'd crunched my face in the floor, and I'd spring up in defiance. For my troubles, I was hurt over and over. Now I bowed, because it made him believe I respected him, all while my heart sharpened the daggers I wanted to plunge. I kneeled because it gave him power, and when he had power, he didn't assert it as often. He was a coward with a vicious, sadistic drive, but I played him the best I could. I got into his head, I couldn't avoid his daily ferocity, but I could avoid utter excruciation by being smart. However, being smart and subservient came with a price. My actions of survival made me live and breathe the existence of a slave, and occasionally, just occasionally, my constant fear and unhappiness won, as if it was winning now. The sobs swelled until my skin begged for relief from the tight clothing. I wanted to strip and disappear. "You're running out of time. Move!" If I didn't go willingly, he'd come for me. He'd hurt me. I'd been hurt enough today. I'm strong enough to obey. That sentence had become a war cry, a lullaby, a prayer. I reminded myself constantly that it was true. It didn't matter if some days it was a lie. I was still here. In a strange way, I'd won. Sucking back tears, I did my best to straighten a spine that long since bowed beneath domination and pain, and trudged down the steps. Slowly. So slowly. But not slow enough. My toes reached the bottom floor before I'd had time to wipe away the droplet on my cheek. My throat constricted as I inched around the corridor to the lounge. The polo latching on my neck clung tight, turning my fear into something thick and cloying. I was 2 seconds from tearing off the offending items when I saw Master A's guest for the first time. My first thought was run. His eyes matched those of the men surrounding him. The eyes of a killer, pain deliverer and user. But my second thought was, run to him. He didn't know me. Master A didn't rule him. He could finally be the one to set me free. Or kill me. Either conclusion would do, because for the first time in such a long time, I remembered what it was like to see a stranger. To feel hope instead of forcing myself to remain strong. My knees wobbled, as his attention remained on the usual gang of assholes who took advantage of me at Mr. A's discretion. He hadn't seen me, hovering ghost quiet against the wall. The interloper sat tightly wound like a sword, waiting to leap from its sheath, glaring at the 3 men on the opposite couch. Master A had never fully introduced me to the animals who'd abused me, but I knew their names. I knew their barbarous tastes, and I knew they were as bad as the rest. Daryl, Monty, and Tony all discounted me the second they sneered in my direction. I was nothing to them. Just like the crystal chandelier above the dining room table was nothing, or the vase on the sideboard in the entrance hall. They saw me, might even appreciate me for a brief moment, but then I was unimportant. I wished I were unimportant enough not to entice sexual interest when alcohol flowed, and Master A gave the order to do whatever the hell they wanted. The sick prick got off on his friends, hurting me 3 at a time. He sat there masturbating while they... Stop. I stuffed each awful memory deep, deep inside. It was the only way I could endure more on top of a mountain already scaled. Besides, it doesn't matter. I was far more interested in this foreigner in my nightmare midst. Who is he? My fingers twined in the ugly skirt, seeking refuge from their cold fragility. It'd been so long since I'd been dressed. I'd forgotten how comforting a simple covering could be. Not that it protected my body. Every part of me was still visible, just shadowed. The white material didn't hide my nipples through the tightness, and the skirt hinted at secret, violated places between my legs. I vaguely remembered my mother saying sometimes clothes were more provocative than downright nakedness. Maybe that was what this was? A tease? A reverse strip show? Master A noticed me, striding from the kitchen with a glass of champagne. He didn't drink it often, and I almost backed away in surprise as he passed the delicate-stemmed flute to me. Kissing my cheek, he looked at the stranger before hissing in my ear.
Our guest isn't aware of our little games, okay, my sweet Pim? and if you know what's good for you, you won't give him any reason to find out.
Facing away from his guest, he subtly drew a line over his throat in a threat. I didn't know if that meant he'd kill the newcomer or me. Stealing the champagne from my fingers, without a single drop splashing my tongue, he wrapped an arm around me and carted me toward the man. The closer we drew, the more intrigued I became. Unlike Master A and his similar blonde counterparts, this man was a black stain in the middle of European fair complexions. His hair was blacker than black, looking like an ink spill on the death of a perfect night. His gaze matched the cold depths, hiding so much but taking everything in. I guessed he'd given up adolescence a while ago, in bordered late 20s, early 30s. He was what my mother used to call confused